in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. You can be like God. And so the postmodern tendencies are to be self-empowered. I can do anything. I can be anything. I can go anywhere. And then the other one, self-deification. I can be my own boss. I can be my own God. I can control others. And it's a self-deification. Most of us in the postmodern society, most people who've bought into it completely, would not ever say, I can be like God, or I want to be God, or I am God. We know better than that. But it's how our actions and how our words portray it. And here's one way it portrays very simply. That's my life. I can do whatever I want with it. Is it your life? Well, Paul tells us a whole different story. When we read, through his epistles, we find out we've been bought. We aren't our own. And so this whole issue of an evolving future comes into focus as we see it develop. It becomes stronger and stronger with each passing month and year. And we see it especially in the generation that was born and raised sometime in the early 1980s. We see it especially strong in that because the philosophy had already invaded the schools by the late 1980s, early 1990s, and this philosophy of self-empowerment, this philosophy of self-deification became a very prominent teaching, even in what we would call some parochial schools and in some Christian educational markets. It became very, very powerful. And so we see postmodernism as an evolving future. It evolves into our future, and we see it more clearly every day and every week and every month and every year. And it comes to focus as we watch it. It's kind of like when you watch one of those PowerPoint slides, it starts with just little dots and it starts dissolving into a picture. And before long, it is a picture. But while it's becoming a picture, you're straining at it in your mind and your conception to see what is that becoming? And then after a while, you see a little more evidence. Oh, I think that's what that is. And then all of a sudden, you know what that is. And that's just the way postmodernism has faded into our society. And it has been faded into our society in a culture that breeds it very well, in an environment that is ripe for it, that creates all the necessary nutrients for postmodernism to live. And what are some of those nutrients? Well, they are things like materialism, things like easy credit, things like passive Christianity, passive faith, non-interactive faith. What do you mean by non-interactive faith? Well, go to a large congregation and you will see non-interactive faith. You will see the sheep by the hundreds and thousands being herded and not ever being really connected to. And I know there's all kinds of excuses if you talk to the pastors of those larger churches or the staff of those larger churches about what they do to counteract that. But the ultimate example of that is when the corporate body of that church is gathered together. And that's what you have to evaluate it by. You really can't break it down into the modules that they want to and say, well, this does this and that does that. And that's exactly where this keeps on going. Now let's look some more at what postmodernism does. And I want to talk to you about something that I think is crucially important. I am a believer that our history